Hey, good morning. Man, I don't say that a lot of times before I talk because it's already been said a couple times, but I want to tell you, if you were here early enough, you got to see Tiffany Trotter be baptized into Christ just before the service started. It was awesome. The first service, Isabella Little was baptized during the service. You can go back and watch that online if you missed it, by her father, Brian. It was just an incredible thing. We've got another one coming after the service today. I tell you, it's just a great morning to celebrate, to sing. I don't know where you're coming from today or what you've been through this week, but right now, in this moment, in this place, know that you're among people that love you. God's presence is here, and God, we want you just to know that he loves you so very, very much. You know, this season that we're in right now, and we think about how we go through day by day, and maybe the people that you interact with and encounter on a daily basis. Life can be kind of crazy, right? I mean, neighbors, people you work with, family members, all those kind of things. Encounters come every single day with all kinds of different personalities. I really love the series that we're in, this encounter series, because we've been exploring the great mission of Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which is also our mission statement. Jesus gave us these words to live out, but it's also how Jesus lived his life. So we've pulled a couple stories out of Jesus's life to show how he lived the mission statement that he gave to us himself as he encountered people every single day. Our first week, we talked about the idea of that, how Jesus was the go. So Jesus went to a man named Zacchaeus. We talked about how he went there. Chris did a great job teaching that. Last week, Eli was here as he talked about making disciples. And we talked about the apostle Peter and how things can get messy sometimes. In fact, I'm using this table and I'm like, why is this table all sticky? Were y'all here last week? Apparently, yeah, it was a milkshake made on the, anyway, and encounters. I think about that. And today I'm excited about an encounter that Jesus had and his command that he gives to all of us to baptize. So before we get started, let's go ahead and be reminded of the mission statement of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand with me, if you would, out of respect for God's word. Let's read this together, all right? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Ready, set, go. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey." Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Great job. Give yourselves a hand. Awesome. Watch this video.
Hi, my name is Ashley Warren. I've been a Christian for a majority of my life, and I was baptized at the age of 7. But I decided to get baptized again this past weekend, and I just wanted to explain a little bit why. So my past couple of years have been kind of rough for me. I have had to become an adult very quickly at the age of 20. I married my wonderful husband, Andrew, and I love him to death, but people were not kidding when they said the first year of marriage is one of the hardest. I've also kind of taken a crash course on what it means to be an adult and live away from home. Just kind of everything that comes with that, relationships, getting a roommate, finances, time management when it comes to working a job that takes me to my limit, doing housework, social life, all of that. And so I've just kind of been trying to move through that as much as I can. On top of that, my dad has also begun having seizures over the past couple of years. It's really affected his health and as well as his memories. And that's been something that we've all been kind of working through over that time. And so due to that, I've had to help out caring for my siblings and for my dad quite a bit over the past couple of years. And in order to do that better, Andrew and I have decided to move back in with them. So that's definitely going to be a big change for us coming up soon. So yeah, there's all that. Since I was a child and was baptized at a young age, I've known Jesus and God, but I think until now I was still relying too much on myself, and that maybe my faith and my relationship with God was not as deep as it should be. When I no longer had my parents around to help me in my walk of my faith, it really feels like Satan took that opportunity to try to break me, to try to break that faith. It was like he said, what happens when I attack every piece of your life? Do you still think God's there for you? When I attack your family, when I attack your marriage, what about then? When I attack your friendships, when I attack your job, do you still think he loves you? And I didn't answer those questions as steadfastly as I would have liked. I knew in my heart that God still, I knew in my head that God still cared, but it was a lot harder for my heart to believe that when just it feels like everything in my life is going crazy and I can't keep up with it all. It's hard not to become distant during those times. And it really felt like I had some very dark days. I see now how God has used all of these things that have happened over the past few years for good, even when I didn't see it. How I've grown over the past years, how God has been for been there for me and heard alongside me. I see how he forgives me and loves me unconditionally every time I ask and sees the heart of who I am, who I'm trying to be, and who I could be, and how he's helping me to get there. What was a sad story in my life became my praise story. In every part of my life, God has moved, and I can now specifically point to all of the ways that he has used what was meant for evil for good. This doesn't really make pushing through the struggles any easier, but it definitely makes it worth it. And so getting baptized was my commitment now as an adult, now that it's definitely tried and tested. Just renewing that commitment to God and to my faith, and whether my life is good or bad, just finding that reason to praise.
Appreciate Ashley sharing her story, and maybe you can relate to that story. I'm sure some of us in this room can relate back to maybe a time when we gave our life to Jesus, we were baptized into Christ. That's what we're going to talk about today, this beautiful moment where we're born again, where we come up out of the water, a brand new person. But maybe your story, like Ashley's, is when you were little, or maybe you don't have a story at all. Maybe you've never experienced what that moment can be like. So today I pray and I hope that you'll just kind of listen with an open ear and an open spirit to what God would say to you through his word and what God might communicate to you today as you think about not the person next to you, your past, you know, anything like that, but just what is God saying right here in this moment as we open his word and share together. You know, this whole idea of baptism, It is just an amazing, amazing thing. It's a biblical thing. It's a necessary thing. Sometimes it's a very controversial thing when it comes to the Christian experience. So what is baptism? What is it? What's it all about? Who should be baptized? How is it done? Why should I be baptized? Is baptism really a big deal at all? I mean, what'd you say to that? I mean, yeah, the answer is yes, it is a big deal. And should you be baptized? Yeah, okay, all right, amen, let's go home. I mean, it's just, but think about that for a second. Sometimes we get wrapped up in other things. Look, I hope to answer all those questions today, or at least a few of them. I'm not going to be able to. So what we've done is kind of made some resources available to you for after the message. If you have your sermon notes, you can open those up. They're in your bulletin. Inside, you'll find notes and resources there. That's for you for later. You can go out to the Next Step station. You can pick up a handout called Frequently Asked Questions About Baptism. This is the 12-pager, okay? This is a really good Bible study. You can check this out. There's also a one-page edition out there you can pick up, too. You can go on our website, ccw.church, go to resources, and you'll find all kinds of things. In about a month, we have our Foundations 1 class where we talk about what we believe and why. You can come to that class. Maybe you haven't been in a while, or maybe you're thinking about partnering with us as a member. Come on to that class, because we're just not going to have time to answer all those questions today. But the answers are out there, I promise. Of course, the best place to start, in fact, if we had no other resources at all, the only place we need to go to is the scriptures, to the Bible itself. So hopefully you have your Bibles today, because we're going to take a look at Jesus's command to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize them. So when Jesus says baptize them, somebody tell me, who is he talking about? Help me out. Baptize them. Who are them? All right, everyone, that's good. So specifically, he's just said, as we talked about last week, to go and to make disciples, baptizing them. So we're talking about baptizing people who want to follow Jesus. This is a big deal. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about an encounter that Jesus had with somebody very, very special in his life. It's found in Matthew chapter 3, the book of Matthew chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 3. If you're watching online, maybe on your phone, now's the time to go ahead and pull that up. If you're here and you don't have a Bible, reach under the chair in front of you and you can find Matthew 3. Ask your neighbor if you're having trouble finding it, and you'll find it right there in your New Testament. So Matthew chapter 3. And as you turn there and find it, I'm going to give you a little bit of background of where Jesus is in this story. He's about 30 years old. He's coming to a point in his life where he is going to meet someone that he's already known throughout his life, but it's a revolutionary prophet that happens to be his older cousin. His name is John the Baptist. Now, John was his name. The Baptist was his nickname. So he kind of acquired this. Anybody want to know why John the Baptist is called John the Baptist? Yeah, all right, rocket science. Right. He was baptizing people, so that's what was going on there. And he's a different John. This is a different John than the John that wrote the Bible, or the book in the Bible, the Apostle John. Two different people. John the Baptist was the miracle baby of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was sister to Jesus' mother, Mary. Now, the Old Testament had predicted that a prophet would come and announce the Messiah's arrival to the world, that the king was coming. Malachi chapter 4, the book of Isaiah, points to this prophet, and this is John the Baptist. Now, I got to tell you, John, he was a different kind of dude, like different guy, all right? Now, just imagine Jesus and this guy being in the same space. It's just kind of crazy. John was a throwback, okay, to the Old Testament prophets. His wardrobe, Matthew 3 tells us, camel's hair, a camel's hair coat. I don't know where you shop for that kind of thing, but did he kill a camel? Like, I don't know, but just imagine that for a second. A camel hair coat, a leather belt around his waist, and his food, his diet, was locusts and honey. Sound good? Keto friendly, right? No. His emotional IQ, very limited. In fact, if you read his words, you're like, he's calling like people brood of vipers. He's going right after the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Like, he did not mince words. In fact, I'm not sure John cared very much about what other people thought about what God told him to tell them. He was just that like Enneagram 8, like going after people kind of person. So in the Bible, we read his story in Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, John chapter 1, which is unique because this is one of those stories that's in all four Gospels. So today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 3, all 17 verses, and we're going to see how Matthew addresses this encounter that Jesus has with John the Baptist. Check this out. It goes like this. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. So he is out there on the outskirts, and he's saying these words, repent. Repent means turn to God. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's got a message. He says, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. I'm the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Pick it up on John's vibe here. He is preparing people for the coming Messiah, for this kingdom that's come to earth. His prophecy is very, very clear here. You need to get right with God. The king is coming. So he goes on, these next few verses. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. His sandals, I'm not even worthy to carry, John says. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Pointing to something greater. He says, verse 12, his winnowing fork is in his hand. He's going to clear out his threshing floor. He's going to gather wheat into the barn, but the chaff he's going to burn with an unquenchable fire. And these are strong words. John is saying here that the king is coming, and he's coming with power. He's coming with might. This guy, this Messiah, is coming to clean house. Repent. And then Jesus shows up. How's he show up? Check this out. Jesus comes from Galilee to the River Jordan to John to be baptized by him. You got to know that from Galilee to Jordan, 60 miles. Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized. Now I'm guessing the Son of God who created the heavens, I mean, he could have come in a cloud, he could have come on a chariot, he could have jumped in his F-150 and driven down to the River Jordan, probably saw the price of gas and said, nope, I'm going to go ahead and walk. Look, he walked down there. He walked down to the icy cold Jordan River to be with his cousin in front of a crowd. And John knows who this is. Like, he knows what's coming. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We're talking about the King of Kings. He was born to rule his kingdom on earth. And John recognizes Jesus coming down to the water. And he's like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, so he starts pushing back. In fact, he says this, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come, you're coming to me? Can you relate to John in this moment? I mean, just think about it for a second. Like, I just had the privilege of being in the water with Tiffany and seeing her baptized. Like, can you imagine? Okay, Tiffany's done, all right? I've done the baptism, and all of a sudden I look over my shoulder and Jesus is standing there. Like, hey, Joe, it's my turn. Just like, what? Like, no, you don't, like, that's not. So just kind of get the picture here of what's happening. Jesus, literally here, he humbles himself and asks John to baptize him. Just like every other person at the Jordan River that day, Jesus, the Christ, fully man, fully God, and he humbly does what God will ask every person who will ever follow him to humbly do, to get into the water and submit to God. Baptism. So why? Now, why was Jesus baptized? I mean, maybe you've asked that question. I've asked that question. I mean, do you agree? Jesus was perfect, sinless. So if Jesus was perfect, he didn't need to get right with God. Did Jesus need to repent? No, he didn't need to repent. Jesus need to get right with God? Jesus was God. So what was his reason for this? Well, Matthew 3:15 gives us a clue. It says, Jesus says these words, let it be so now. Like, John's pushing back again, like, no, like, I need to be baptized by you. And he says, no, well, let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Think about those words. What do they mean? What it means is that Jesus would fulfill his destiny in order to change our destiny. He came to fulfill all righteousness. What we know about baptism is that in the Bible, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for suffering and death and burial and resurrection. So by being baptized, Jesus is beginning his ultimate mission on earth, his ministry, and he's a model for all of us. You see, Christ would later suffer. He would die on the cross, he would be buried in a tomb, and he would rise again from the dead in order to bring righteousness to the world, to you and to me. Jesus would take on the sin of every single unrighteous person who ever lived. His death, burial, resurrection would make everyone who follows him as Lord, listen, righteous before God. So righteousness was being fulfilled that day. That's why Jesus did this. And the implications go for years and years and years to this very room today. You see, for everyone, righteousness would be fulfilled for everyone who, like Jesus did on that day, would get in the water, die to our old self, and rise again out of that watery grave to follow him as the King of Kings in our life. So, Jesus is in the water, there with his cousin John. He's like, no, you get baptized me. Jesus says, no, there's got to be this way. Fulfill all righteousness. So John's like, okay, like whatever you say, Jesus. Like, okay, you, I get you. I got it. Let's. So John consented to this. In verse 16, Jesus is baptized. Baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately, listen to this, immediately he went up out of the water. And behold, just picture this. Behold, the heavens opened up to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him in that moment. And behold, a voice from heaven said, and I don't know if it was a whisper, I don't know if it was a, but said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Or it was, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm up." We don't know that, but look, catch this moment. All right, the Son of God is in the water. The Spirit of God is descending on him like a dove. And the Holy Father, the voice from heaven says, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." Something incredible, something amazing is happening here. Do you see it? God is showing up at Jesus' baptism. Jesus humbles himself, and God is there. He tells the world that Jesus is his Son. And when I say God, do you see who's... Every single bit of God is right there with him. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the entire Trinity. God in three persons who each have eternally existed in community together in that moment. They're all there at once. Y'all, this is a big deal. And it happens right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And what I really find interesting is that at the end of Jesus' ministry, those words we just read together, the Great Commission of Jesus, Matthew 28, he tells you and I to do something that models what happened at the beginning of his ministry when he was baptized. This is a big deal. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, baptizing them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God publicly shows up at Jesus' baptism. And guess who shows up at your baptism? Yeah, it's a big deal. "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." Jesus comes up out of the water. He goes on living his life. Of course, he goes on to publicly live this perfect life before all who see him, including his cousin. He teaches perfectly, does miracles. He loves people perfectly. He suffers. He dies a brutal death, just like David explained a minute ago during communion, this public death. And then he rises from the dead after 3 days, and he walks on the earth for over a month. People are seeing him, doing life with him, eating with him. Jesus is alive again and is proving that he is exactly who God said as he was, the Son of God in the flesh, all powerful, God in the flesh. That's Jesus. Remember who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Why? That's Jesus. Because when you rise from the grave and you do what Jesus did, you prove that you're God. What you say matters. What you do is important. And what's important to Jesus, the Son of God, must be important to us as well. Being baptized was of first importance to Jesus. First importance. And it should be no less important to anyone who considers himself or herself a Christ follower as well. So when the Bible talks about baptism, there's all kinds of ideas out there. No matter what your experience is growing up, what you've heard, taught, whatever thought through. So what we need to do is we need to stick to what the Bible says, the Bible way, for Bible reasons. We need to look at baptism Jesus style. Does that make sense? So we're going to look at some reasons that we can be baptized. Why is it that we get baptized? Very quickly, here's a few of them. Number one, because Jesus said so. Jesus said so, period. Is that good? All right? Legit, right? Jesus said to do it, we're going to do it. Number two, another reason. So important. Just like Isabella this morning, 10 years old. Tiffany, your experience, my experience. Look, we have to understand that we are lost. We are sinners. We're broken people. God's judgment is coming. And our destiny is eternal death. But our destiny and our judgment was changed literally by what Jesus did for us on the cross and rising from the grave. And the Bible teaches us that we're saved when we put our faith in who Jesus was and what Jesus did. So baptism, just like when we repent of our sins, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, baptism is a physical, visible expression of our faith. Number three, when we get baptized, God forgives our sins. Peter makes that clear, Acts 2:38. We're made righteous by his blood, and we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And number four, baptism means that we die to ourselves and we live for Jesus. We live for Jesus. That's the tip of the iceberg. So what I'd like to do this morning, just for a few minutes, is I want to just read God's word to you and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the living word of God. What does Scripture say? Well, Matthew 28:18-19, we've already read it together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. John 3:5. And in this passage, which was until Wednesday, the sermon for this week, Jesus is approached by, he has an encounter with Nicodemus, a Pharisee, in the darkness of night. And Nicodemus has some questions for Jesus about what it means to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus answers, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again of the water and of the Spirit." First Peter 3:21 and 22, the apostle writes, "This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Acts 2:38, Pentecost, thousands are gathered and they've heard the message of Jesus Christ from the apostle Peter, and they ask the question, "What should we do about what we've just heard?" And Peter replied, Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 22:16, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." At Romans 6:1-6, my favorite passages, here's just a few of these verses. The Apostle Paul writes, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" In verse 4, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Why be baptized? Well, the Bible is loaded with reasons. Again, this is just some samples of what God says about baptism. That's why. So how? I mean, how do we do this? What's the Bible way to be baptized into Christ? Well, I hope you'll agree with me that we should be baptized the way that Jesus was, We should be baptized the way Jesus was, and also how the first disciples, those early Christ followers, were also baptized. We go back to the book of Acts, we see 8 different accounts where people came to Jesus and they were all immersed in the Christ, and that's exactly what that word means, the word baptism. It comes from the Greek word baptizo. That's how it's translated, which means immersion. Immersion. The Greek word baptize means to immerse or to plunge underneath the water. Specifically, unless otherwise stated, baptism is always an immersion underwater and done wherever a person becomes a Christ follower. Immersion. Colossians chapter 2, you have been buried with him in baptism, buried with him, and then raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. That's what the word means. So, conversely, and this is important to me, part of my story, maybe yours too, if you have been sprinkled any time in your life, the Bible word for sprinkled is the word rantizo. You say, well, I was baptized when I was a baby. I was, you know, whatever. No, you were probably sprinkled as a baby, which is a different word. So in your experience, you may have been rantized into Christ, but you weren't baptized into Christ. Now, I don't want to discount your life experience, but if you were rantized, sprinkled, this was not biblical Jesus-style baptism. All right, it wasn't your experience. So unless you've been immersed fully in water, you've not been baptized into Christ. And this is my story. And I've talked about it before. It's been a few years, but I had to bring it back up again. Maybe you can relate to this. But yeah, that's me when I was born. All right, yeah, I know, cute guy, right? Yeah, pretty amazing. Photogenic from the start. Things got worse from there. But in the middle, you see what was called my christening gown. Now, this is it right here, and it's so old, if I take it out of this plastic, it'll probably fall apart. No, it won't. But what happened was that when I was a baby, maybe you've had this experience, my parents decided that it would be a good idea for me to have a godmother and a godfather and to be christened or sprinkled as a baby. As a baby, it was important to them, and I appreciate that so much because my parents thought it was important for that to happen. They kind of helped set that foundation in my life. But I didn't have faith in Jesus. You know why? Because I was a baby. I didn't have any faith. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know. I couldn't confess Jesus as Lord of my life. You know why? Yeah, because I was a baby. I didn't even have any words. Like, that's not how this works in Scripture. I didn't understand who Jesus was and what he did because that's where I was. That was a baby. My parents, again, they had great intentions. We didn't go to church. You know, we never really followed Jesus with our life, but I really appreciate what they did for me because, again, by dedicating me, Jesus was part of our home, and I got to understand, okay, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, the Son of God, said all those kind of words. But I wasn't baptized. But something happened when I turned 16. And I began to encounter the living God through his word and through other people. And I began to understand who Jesus Christ really is. And on July 24th, 1983, now that sounds like a long time ago for some of y'all, but it feels just like yesterday to me. Because while I didn't know what I was doing then or what was happening to me then, I know exactly what happened to me on this day. This is the day I gave my life to Jesus once and for all and forever. I was baptized into Christ in that watery grave and came up a brand new person with the gift of the Holy Spirit in me, and it changed me forever. Now I want to tell y'all, baptism was the starting line for me, not the finish line. So let's get that. What a day. How many of y'all have this experience? Man, you remember the day you were baptized into Christ. You mark that on the calendar. You celebrate it every day. This is a spiritual birthday. It's a time when you were born again. You know this is true because of Scripture. This was your experience. Man, it's so important. And see, up until that time, I got to tell you, for 16 years, even believing in Jesus, I just wanted to date Jesus. Like, hey, look, you know, just call him up when I need him. I kind of know he's out there. Like, kind of, you know, man, I didn't go to church, but I knew, you know, there was this thing, you know, like just kind of dating Jesus, understanding, believing in him. I was kind of cool with that. But something happened when I became a young adult. I started to understand what this relationship with Jesus really meant. And I had to seal the deal. Some of y'all know if you're in a marriage relationship, you date somebody, you know, you kind of talk, you kind of understand they're there for you, you know, call you when they need you kind of thing. And then something happens where you decide once and for all and forever that you're going to be one. And you make that commitment. There's a ceremony called a wedding. And it's the starting line for the rest of your life together. And I tell you, as we read through scripture, we understand baptism to be that kind of experience with Jesus. I wanted to date Jesus before I sealed the deal, but I wasn't sure about the commitment. But the marriage, it happened. It happened because I wanted to spend eternity with the one who loved me enough to die for me. Not out of obligation, not out of guilt, not because my parents told me to, not because everybody else in camp was doing it, but because I came to the decision for myself. I had the choice to make, and I wanted to make the choice to live for the one who died for me. Just like many of you have. And I got married to my Savior, Jesus Christ. I turned my life over to him. I said goodbye to my old self. I said my vows out loud, my confession of faith that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he died for me so I would live for him forever. Immersed, buried, rising again, Jesus style. Went down in that water, came up a new person. So who should be baptized? When should we be baptized? How does this, you know, I'll take a look. I just want to encourage you this morning, if you take the Bible seriously and you call yourself a believer of Jesus, then you simply must consider what the Bible says about being plunged into the water, buried with Christ in water baptism, and then raised again with Jesus by faith, saved by his grace. It is that important. Baptism is for anyone who understands God's plan of salvation, who is ready to put their faith in Jesus and wants to live for Jesus as their king. Again, once for all, forever. Seal the deal. The book of Acts shows us this in living color, up early and close. We see the lives of people after that first sermon that Peter preached at Pentecost. People were cut to the heart. They were convicted. They repented. They gave their life to Jesus. Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 is what got it all started. And then later, all through the book of Acts, we see people coming to Jesus. So who could be baptized? Look at just a couple of the people on this roster. Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans were baptized, outsiders, Jews, Gentiles, baptized. Acts chapter 8, 36, this Ethiopian eunuch baptized by Philip, foreigners. This guy was from Africa. Acts chapter 8, 15, Lydia's household, men, women, children, baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 9, Saul, who would become the apostle Paul, an enemy of Christ, the killer of Christians, baptized into Christ to begin a new life with Jesus, the Apostle Paul. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, just to name a few, it happens over and over and over again. They believe in Jesus, they repent of their sins, they confess him as Lord, and then they pledge allegiance to Jesus and are baptized into Christ, into Jesus' name. And I want to tell you, in those days, man, if you committed your life and pledged your allegiance to somebody other than Caesar, you were putting your life on the line. They were declaring Jesus as Lord for anyone who wanted to know it. This was a big deal. So big, in fact, that the Apostle Paul would write later, Galatians chapter 3, so in Christ Jesus, who can be baptized? You are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourself with Christ, wearing him around. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor any male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He'd write in the book of Ephesians, there's one baptism. So you are the who. You are the who. Now is the when. You don't have to be clean to take a bath. So we're saying, well, maybe one day. Maybe I understand. Look, wherever there's water deep enough, that can be your watery grave. That can be your spiritual rebirth place. Maybe it's a swimming pool. Maybe it's the Gulf of Mexico. Maybe it's right here in this place, in this building. No matter where you're at, watching online, look, this is what, this is, all you need is water. And somebody that will baptize you, preferably a Christian who will walk you through this process, somebody who's discipling you. Maybe it's your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your friend. I don't know, but you can be, look, we've got change to close in, clothes to change into here. If this is interesting to you, if something you want to do today, or you get baptized in whatever you're wearing. I don't know how it went down at Pentecost that day. 3,000 people. Are you kidding me? Like, hold on a second. I got to go home first. You know, that kind of thing. This was a big deal then. It's a big deal now to be able to do this. Think about this. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, baptized into Christ. And if you do this, decide to do this, understand that you are making a covenant promise, a lifelong promise to God, and he has made one to you. This is a covenant decision. And God keeps his promises. So we step onto the altar to exchange vows with God. Understand that God is the one promising you a new name, a new identity, promising forgiveness of sins, freedom in Christ. It's a promise of his faithfulness to you, a promise of his Spirit in you, and eternal life in heaven with you. And y'all, God keeps his promises. And your promise to God is your faithfulness to him unto death. For better or worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to live and to follow his Son as King of your life. And if you follow Jesus on earth, you get to follow him into heaven forever and ever and ever again. I hope you'll make that step today. I hope you'll consider this. And you may be asking the question, well, what if I don't? Like, what, you know, what, like, look, I'm not your judge. That is not my job. No one else's job but God's. It's above my pay grade. But I'll be your John the Baptist today. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. It is the best decision you'll ever make. And you've got to admit, it's pretty undeniable that baptism is at least necessary to be a disciple of Jesus and at most somehow connected to your salvation in Jesus. It is at least important and at most urgent that this happens. So I want to point you to the Bible this morning. I want to point you to Jesus and his baptism today. I want to point you to your own logic to think about this and to your heart. And with all due respect to your parents, your grandparents, your church tradition, I pray that whatever you've come to believe, if you say you're a Christ follower, if you call yourself a Christian, you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you'll take your best next step. And I think you know what that best next step is. If you don't, if you're not sure, again, I want to encourage you to get into the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what that next step is. Use those sermon notes in your bulletin. Go to the Next Step station. Grab one of those study guides. Go on the website. Discover, learn, grow. Don't go to sleep on this. It is the biggest and best decision. It's a big deal decision. So if you've never been baptized, if you've never made this choice, but believe in Jesus and you want to follow him as Lord of your life forever, you can do that today. You can do that today. And I want to invite you to do that today. Our prayer team will be up front. I'm going to ask our elders to come. Our praise team is here. I will be up here. Maybe the person that invited you to come to worship today, maybe the only Christ follower you know, will walk you through this and answer the questions you have. We want to be here for you today. Today, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, but you've never been immersed, you've never been baptized, I've got to ask you this morning, what are you waiting for?
It couldn't be any clearer. Today needs to be your day. And if you're already a Christ follower and you've been baptized, you've already done that, you can look back to that occasion, you know it happened to you, then I just want to encourage you today to pray for someone that you know, that you love, who needs to follow Jesus as Lord for themselves and be baptized into Christ, and to leave this place, to love on them and to serve them and to share with them. Ask questions. Hey, you know what we did today? We talked about baptism in church. Have you ever thought about that? You know, I was baptized when I was, you know, 15 years old, whatever. Just share that story. Ask this question. Spend time with the people that you know and love. Be a good neighbor to them like Jesus was. And maybe, just maybe, like John the Baptist, your friend, your loved one, will have their own encounter with Jesus Christ. One that will last forever into eternity, and maybe, just maybe, like John the Baptist, you will be there in the water with them when they come up by that water to live their new life in Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? Let's go ahead and stand together. We'll have a word of prayer, and we're going to sing a song called Cornerstone. Because he is our righteousness. He is our Savior and our King. And today, if you have a decision to make, I pray that you'll make that choice, not leave this place without giving your life to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, I thank you so much. And God, I pray that you would just clear the way in our minds and in our hearts for nothing and no one but your Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us today. Make it clear to us what our very next step needs to be. Maybe for the first time, someone today would come and give their life to you. Be buried with Jesus and leave here a brand new person with a brand new birthday today. God, maybe someone who has thought, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower, I've been doing this for years, but I've never been immersed. God, today will be their day when they do what you've told them to do, just like Jesus did, and be baptized into him. And God, for those of us who know someone we love so much, God, we want to spend eternity with them. I pray that nothing would be more important than sharing Jesus with them. And God, I pray for a moment of celebration when they too give their life to you, are forgiven of their sins, given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and can call heaven their home. Use us, God, for your glory, for your praise. Lord Jesus, you are our cornerstone, our Lord and our Savior. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.